Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I look up among this group and I see lots of friends. I think the first friendship I was ever made aware of was the friendship of Bob Flack and Larry Brady. These two guys would go out and fish, they'd go camp. They were friends. They are friends. The friends I also see, there are many, much more than what I'm mentioning. We see the Thompsons and the Warners and Roseanne's. And they go out after evening services and eat, stick together. We also see friends that belong to this congregation and some friends that don't belong to this congregation. For example, my mom and my dad, Al and Jeanette Schreck, very good friends. We see Rodney and Miles, they're good friends. The one closest and nearest to my heart is Brady and Nathan. I think they've been friends as soon as they could look at each other. They're good little buddies, and I enjoy having them and enjoy watching them. Audrey Brady, and whoever she meets. Friends. Everybody has them. Some have many, and some may only have one. It's very unlike the saying, "He who has the most toys wins." Having lots of friends is not important as having a few that really love you. The rich will say they have a lot of friends, but the poor will say they know who their friends are. One good friend that loves you is really all a person needs. I can remember watching an interview with Eric Clapton. And he had lots of friends, and then he ran out of money and got hooked on cocaine. And all these friends went away. So you really have to be careful of how you choose your friends. It's been said that good friends are like stars. You don't always see them, but you know they are there. My wife Allison lately has been reading in the book of Acts. And I think it was this week she posted a comment on Facebook. She was amazed how the Apostle Paul withstood so much tribulation and was still able to write encouraging letters to the many churches of Asia and to Timothy. As I was studying for my lesson today, it occurred to me how Paul was able to do all that he was able to do. Yes, Paul was courageous. Yes, Paul had a great amount of faith. Yes, Paul believed that Jesus and God was on his side and by him all the time. But there's one thing that we don't think about, or I didn't think about until this lesson. God also gave Paul friends. True friends. Friends that loved him. And we read this in Philippians 2:25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. And what about in 2 Timothy 1:16? May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he has helped me in Ephesus. Paul had friends. He had friends or a friend come visit him, searched him out in Rome while he was in prison, did all that he could to comfort him. It said he wasn't ashamed of his chains. He wasn't ashamed of his position. He wasn't ashamed of his looks. He wasn't ashamed of anything that Paul stood for. He withstood the ridicule of actually going to see him, because evidently, by going to see somebody in prison, by going to see somebody in chains, it was kind of a bad thing. We also see other friends in the books, the Bible, for Paul, and for many other people. But those friends encouraged Paul. Paul would get down and out. You know he did, because he also wrote in 2 Timothy, Paul, the churches of Asia had deserted him. There were two people that deserted him, that were his good friends, and those churches of Asia deserted him. And that caused him great sadness. But his good friends found him and loved him. Not for what he had, but for whom he had hope in. I want to remind you of two really good friends. We find this story in 1 Samuel. The friendship starts right after David kills Goliath in the 18th chapter. In the very first verse, it says, Jonathan and David became one in spirit. Jonathan and David became one in spirit. It says, David loved Jonathan as himself, and Jonathan loved David as himself. You're familiar with the story. I find this friendship very interesting, don't you? It seems odd. If you look at the backgrounds, who was David? What was David? He was a shepherd. He wasn't very big. I don't think that he was all that handsome. I could be wrong. But that's not my impression of David. But yet, we see Jonathan. I get the impression that Jonathan is a good-looking man. He's tall, like his father, Saul. Jonathan was a prince. He was next in line to be king after Saul died. It seems kind of odd that these two would become one in spirit, and that they would become friends. But Jonathan was there listening to the conversation between Saul and David. Can you imagine what was being said as David's standing there holding Goliath's head, talking to the king of Israel, Saul? What was David's demeanor? What caught Jonathan at this moment that he would become one in spirit with David? It's really hard to know. But I have a guess. How about you? You got a guess? As we continue this story, we know that David wins over Saul's respect, because David is a good servant to the king. He does everything the king wants him to do. David and Jonathan's friendship increases. But as David wins popularity with the people, coming back from different wars, killing more Philistines than Saul, Saul becomes jealous. So jealous that Saul wants to kill David, his son's best friend. But as Saul tries to plot to kill David, David's wife, who is Saul's daughter, helps David escape. Jonathan is upset that Saul wants to kill David, and Jonathan tries to find out the reasons with Saul. And he makes a lot of sense to his dad, and his dad decides to make a vow not to kill David. But one day, as David is sitting there playing the harp for the king, something comes over Saul that he wants to pin him to the ground with a spear. And it sounds like it was quite a great struggle, but David escapes. Afraid and unsure what he did to deserve death by King Saul. Would you be scared? You were a shepherd. You've worked your way up the ranks. You've tried really hard to please your king, and he wants to kill you. Unsure. Why? I want to fast forward to the 23rd chapter. The 15th verse. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziphah, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father knows this." The two men made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. Did you hear it? Did you hear what I just read? Did you hear the part in here? Right there, did you hear that Jonathan, who has the same spirit as David, David's best friend, his best friend, what did he do? I'll read it again. "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." He helped him find strength in God. Do you imagine that's the same thing that happened with Paul when he was in prison? They came and they helped him find strength in the Lord so that he could persevere. Why did he do this? Because this is what good friends do. Good friends help their friends find strength in the Lord so that they can persevere through their problems. Jonathan and David were of the same spirit, but of different backgrounds. But they shared something. Remember that guess you might have? Remember my guess that I have? That something is hope. Both Jonathan and David had hope. They both loved God. Can you imagine David standing there talking to Saul, holding Goliath's head, telling Saul how great God is, and if it wasn't for God, he wouldn't have been able to kill Goliath. And Jonathan heard that. And at that time, Jonathan became one spirit with David. Friends, that's why they hit it off right from the beginning. Because they both had the same hope. When we're in trouble, we have friends that help us. And sometimes when we're in trouble, we have friends that disown us. Were they really our friends? Let's go to the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel. Saul was chasing David. And David and his men hid in a cave. And in comes Saul to take care of some business. And the men, you can see them in the back of the cave, huddling up. Look, there's Saul. Now's your chance, David. Go run him through. The Lord has provided this for you. Go get him. David's all charged up. His friends got him all charged up. He went up there, just about to run him through. And he realized, I can't kill king. I can't kill this king. I can't kill Saul. He was anointed by God. But what does he do? He cuts off the corner of his robe, his tunic. And Saul is amazed. There's David right there. He could have killed me. But as he ran off, David was still pledging his allegiance to Saul. Because God, that's what God wanted. God did not want David to kill Saul. See how important it is to have the right friends? Some friends encourage you to do the right thing. Some friends, because they don't understand, encourage you to do things that might look like they're right, but in reality they're not. It is important for us to choose our friends wisely. My first class petty officer, Donald Snow, told me, be careful. You are who your friends are. Your friends can influence you. They can influence you in a good way. They can influence you in a bad way. And you become like your friends. And what better place to find friends than right here in this room. I've been blue lately, and my wife, whom I love and adore and consider her my friend, I was so blue even she couldn't get me out of my blueness. I just knew the world was coming to an end for me. I just knew it. That I was so stupid that I thought I was going to light a pile of brush with gasoline. Man, what are you thinking? What were you thinking when you were that close to the edge? That you thought you would dump some concrete down a ditch. What were you thinking? You are so stupid. I was beyond blue. And I received cards from the congregation here. And I appreciate them. And they helped me. But the thing that most helped me, when I think back on it, is that my family at Smart Road found out that I was blue. And they sent me a care package. And usually when you get a care package, you get a lot of food, and you're like, ooh, yummy food. And Mike said it was interesting when he gave it to me. He said you took the trail mix, you put it aside, you took the candy, you put it aside. You took Rita Stretch's most wonderful pumpkin muffins and set them aside. I must have been insane. But I looked at the cards. I looked at the names on the cards. I didn't even read what they said. I just saw the names. And I started crying. And that proved to me something. You don't have to have the most eloquent words to be a friend. You don't have to do great things to be a friend. But you send a card. Give them a nod, a handshake, a wink. Tell them you're thinking of them. I think that's what we should do. Sometimes God seems so far away that He's unattainable. But God did us a favor. He sent us friends. He sent us good friends. And I think about that verse, Proverbs 18:24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Is that a good friend because He loves you and He'll never desert you? Or is that Jesus? I think it's both. Because Jesus knew that we needed friends here on earth to help us through our problems. And that's why He created friends. At the 2-week meeting, I heard a verse read from the Bible from Steve Wright. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another daily. You ever been blue? You ever feel like the whole world's against you? You ever feel like you're so stupid? That's the hardening of your heart. That's sin's deceitfulness. Why should I try anymore? I'm just so stupid. But if you have one good friend who can encourage you on a daily basis, if you have one family that can encourage you on a daily basis, I submit to you those times that we feel blue will be less and less. I haven't been a very good friend. I'm selfish. I like me first. But in order for me to have friends, I'm going to have to be friendly. I'm going to have to put others before me. I think it's going to be hard for me to do that. But I think you guys will help me, encourage me to be a good friend. And by that example, I think that I will grow as a friend. If you are outside of the body of Christ, you don't really have the hope. And you're missing out on that friendship with Christ. You're probably missing out on the opportunity of a friend of a lifetime, much like Jonathan and David. So I urge you, if you are outside the body of Christ, and you're feeling blue, you feel like the whole world is stacked up against you, we've got our arms open. We've got a few friends, but we'd like to have another true friend who can help us, and we can help you. Please stand and sing.